This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode 80. Today, I am joined by Jim Yuan. He first joined us on episode number 66. So if you want to hear a little bit of his backstory, then go and listen to that episode. Today, we explore the business fundamentals of the Philippines, where really, you know, we don't have great authority to speak about a lot of this stuff, but it's really just exploring what can be done in the Philippines, the opportunities for the Philippines, and the opportunities for you out there thinking about leveraging the Philippines for your workforce. So really good episode. I'm sure you'll learn a lot. If you want to get in touch with Jim or any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/80. Okay, welcome back, everyone. Today we're joined by Jim Yuan. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Derek.
And Jim has joined us previously, but just as a bit of a background, he is Chinese-born, raised in the US, is now an international man of mystery. He was a former IT consultant and commercial strategy and marketing professional, now in the digital startup world, and has spent much of his recent time in much of the world, crossing the globe in many countries, both in Asia and Europe and the US in
Latin America.
So I like to get Jim's perspective as a well-traveled professional and also with a relatively fresh pair of eyes in the Philippines. So today I'm going to tap his experience in terms of business insight and look at the opportunities in the Philippines from a business perspective. So, Jim, first of all, I want to know what, when you've spent a little bit of time here now in the Philippines, what has jumped out at you in terms of business opportunities here?
Well, the first thing that jumps out at me, and actually want to bring an example from today, it took me 2 hours to get here because of a huge traffic jam due to bad weather. And traffic jams are quite common in Manila. It causes big hassles for commuters everywhere, especially in big business districts like Makati and Bonifacio City. And as you may have seen, actually we're in the middle of Makati right here.
So how is that a business opportunity though? Because how do we, I think about traffic and it's one of the hardest things to solve. You can't just make software program to solve
it. So you can avoid it.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, there's thousands of office workers, BPO workers in the place of Makati, and you know, a lot of them are very young. They're single. They're young. Is there a better way to provide living spaces for these BPO workers so that they don't have to necessarily spend 2 hours every day painstakingly going through a commute?
So the co-working, co-living space.
I absolutely, because you know, look, here in Makati, it's quite expensive for the local population. You know, the average wage in the Philippines is what, 25,000 pesos, which is about maybe 500 US dollars.
Well, the average BPO worker is probably earning about 25,000.
Entry level BPO worker is about 25,000 pesos, about 500 US dollars.
And it's very difficult to afford accommodation then, isn't it? And
a condo in Makati starts around maybe 30,000 pesos.
And many things in the Philippines are very cheap, but actually property is super expensive in Manila. Yeah. Certainly in Manila, not so much in
relatively speaking, I would agree. So as an upshot, many of these BPO workers, office workers in Makati, in Bonifacio City, they have to take 1, 2, even 3 hour commutes every day just to get from their home to their office. I know that there's increasingly developments where companies are setting up BPO workers in certain dorms or certain living places within Makati or within BGC, Bonifacio Global City, where you have 4 workers share a particular living space.
I
see that as an opportunity even more and more, and that may also expand into other areas within Manila and then beyond as well.
That's cool. I have a background in property, and I actually really, I like that idea. That, to put it in context, there's in much of the Philippines, people share, families share very small spaces.
Exactly.
So it's not unusual to get an entire family within a one room
Absolutely.
Dwelling. Mm-hmm. So to have people sharing rooms here is not that unusual, but it's finding its way into the city more now, where there's an opportunity to have effectively like a co-living space for the outsourcing workers.
There is a tremendous opportunity for more. I think there's not enough for all the BPO companies, for the entire industry. I think there could be 3, 4, 5 additional companies that rent out these co-living spaces to these outsourcing companies.
I agree. And one of the original first movers on this was, I mean, it's now a brand called My Town, which is funded by a Dutch family. And it's pretty progressive. So it's the kind of, I suppose, a cliche kind of funky living spaces, and it's got table tennis tables, and it's got a pool on the roof deck. But then you're effectively within a dorm, and then I suppose when you're not working on the weekend, you can go home back to your province, back to your family.
Exactly.
Really, really quite interesting. But now I have heard that a lot of the big companies like the SMs and the W Groups, they're actually starting to build these things out, so come online
pretty quick. The SM seems to own everything here.
They do, yeah. There's kind of 5 or 6 dominant development firms, and they seem to be building
Ayala as well. They do quite well.
Interesting. So what else do you see? I mean, I really see an opportunity in property, and it is growing as long as the music doesn't stop and people are left
and
with
they're building
properties.
Global cities. They're building a global city in the Clark area. They might build another one in the Subic region and connect the two global cities. They're building another huge commercial area. I think it's led by Ayala in the south of Manila as well. So tremendous opportunity in the property space, and there's quite a few rumblings here and there with buildings, new buildings being built, new condos and everything.
Yeah, it's incredible, huh? I think it really is. You come to Asia, you know, from the West, and the West really is a sleeping giant now, and you come to Asia and you notice the vibrancy and the energy and just everything is being rebuilt. So
there's a lot of room. There's a lot of room to leapfrog things and skip certain steps in the evolutionary process in terms of technology, in terms of payments. And the next topic in terms of what opportunities are there, I think it's with regard to payments. Because we all know in the Philippines, it's a very cash-based society.
And the banking system is super antiquated here.
It's quite also owned by big families. I do see a tremendous opportunity for cryptocurrency, for blockchain-based payments.
Wow.
To really, really leapfrog certain institutions that in the West have taken place many decades ago. There are certain interest groups within Manila that I'm a part of. We have get-togethers, and there are companies like coins.ph that spearhead opportunities and movements to allow Filipinos better access to payment infrastructure.
So they say, again, as a bit of context, there's only about 80% of the Philippines is not actually in the banking system. Is that right?
Like for the unbanked.
Yeah.
And there are significant efforts within Southeast Asia, not just the Philippines, to really solve this problem. And there are new blockchain-based startups that are helping and trying to provide banking for the unbanked. And
one of the criticisms with blockchain is, I mean, it's a fantastic concept, but there isn't the interface yet that makes it easy.
It's especially happening
for the less plugged in members of society. It needs to be super
That's
simple,
a good point.
Doesn't it?
That's a good point. And it doesn't have to be that complicated. You can talk about hardware wallets. You can talk about clients.
I mean, we could probably figure it out, but you know, the unbanked out there and the
and they don't need to know all that. They don't need to know all
that. It needs to be bridged, doesn't it?
So, just for example, the Coins.ph, one of the premier payments companies in the Philippines, they have a very simple app-based interface for locals who can transfer pesos into Bitcoin, and you know, no one needs to understand what is a public key, a private key.
Sure.
No one needs to understand what is a hardware wallet or what
is the... And that's when it's working well, isn't it? Because no one understands what's inside their laptop. All they need to know is that their laptop
works.
Not
everyone needs to. What you see is basically a wallet on the app for coins.bh, and it just says how much Bitcoins you have, and you can just transfer the Bitcoins to whoever.
What I like about CoinsPH as well, it has this network effect in that every person with a CoinsPH account is effectively like a node on a web.
Yeah.
And every person on that web can be treated like an ATM.
Yeah.
So you can actually take money from another person, or another person can give you money, effectively acting like a bank branch.
Yeah.
And then it's just balanced out within their CoinsPH.
It's quite intuitive, the way they do it. They certainly take out a lot of the complexities. You don't have to understand the difference between having an actual cryptocurrency wallet versus having access to cryptocurrency that you can spend for goods and services. Because ultimately, for the general consumer, all we want is to have the ability to spend on goods and services, you know, money, cryptocurrency as a means of exchange.
So where are the opportunities there for the average businessman coming in? How can that be? Do you think that's going to come in soon, or do you think that is a...
I think it's coming. I think recently the Central Bank of Philippines have approved two local cryptocurrency exchanges, full license to operate in the Philippines.
I have heard that the central bank here is one of the most liberal controlling bodies. Yeah, in that they're actually encouraging development in this area.
As they should. I think they're certainly more liberal than the state of New York. You have startups and companies based on the blockchain that are moving out of New York State because of the regulation over there. And I see tremendous potential in certain parts of the world that may not traditionally be known for fintech, for financial services, for payments, and more. But now it's, you know, there's a potential to leapfrog the old players. You see that in not just in the Philippines, but also other parts of Europe and Asia.
So I want to get your impression of the startup community here. Just a quick snapshot. I'm somewhat involved in the startup community. There's hackathons here. There's a VC ecosystem, angel ecosystem. What is your impression, having traveled around Southeast Asia a little bit, Latin America, and also stemming from the US?
I think overall, I've been fairly impressed with most of the startup environments. There's no shortage of hardworking, intelligent, creative young people everywhere. You know, it was same in São Paulo, same in the Philippines as well. There's you go to A-Space Manila, you go to Accelerate, you go to Impact Ignition. Hub, everywhere.
There's a lot sprouting up there.
There's a lot of very smart...
And it's really in vogue, isn't it? You know, and across the world. And again, this is this is how fantastic knowledge transference is. As soon as something's trendy in Silicon Valley, soon it spreads across the globe. So you're getting a fervent interest in startups, and that's happening here.
It's happening a lot. It's happening. I think there should be more happening. I think that based on my interactions with guys in A Space Manila, in some of the other co-working spaces, I've certainly been very impressed. I think that government overall should open up more, less regulation, and just have the young guys hack it through. When I was in São Paulo, again, I was very impressed with the level of entrepreneurship, the people I participated in a lot of startup events, but I felt that the overall in Brazil, the business regulations and government regulations were playing against it. If you had the startup infrastructure and regulation or lack of regulation in Chile combined with the general critical mass of interesting and smart entrepreneurs in São Paulo, you would have something tremendous rivals New York or San Francisco.
You need to keep things light, don't you? Especially for startups, especially for quick build, light startups. You need to keep regulation to a minimum. I think the government is on board with that, but it just has to cut through.
There's
a lot
still
of red tape,
some ways to go, but it's you do see some of it in the right direction. I think with regard to Southeast Asia as a region, obviously Singapore has a legs up in terms of course, the encouragement of entrepreneurship, in terms of the number of accelerators they have over there. But you also see countries like Malaysia that's fast catching up. You know, I was in Penang in Kuala Lumpur last year and participated in some startup events there. And it's just incredible how many enterprising young people there are. Same in Indonesia with a huge critical mass. And also in the Philippines. As well, in Makati and BGC, and also in Cebu, everywhere around, you see smart, enterprising, hardworking, creative young people who are trying to make things happen.
It is inspiring, isn't it?
Thank you, Jim. Absolutely. Thank you, Derek.
How was that? If you want to get in touch with Jim, then go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/80. If you want to ask us anything at all, then just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. And I look forward to seeing you next time.